Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahunt. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr.
Yep.
Ava has
Brother
been
Terrence?
Featured in Essence Magazine
yes.
many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava. This is her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and please stay on the line. She will be on the show just in a few moments, but we want to thank everyone for tuning in to Ask Dr. Ava, her weekly blog talk radio show, and we're inviting everyone to call in at 347-324-5091. I want you to call in tonight at 347-324-5091. Once again, you're listening to Ask Dr. Ava, and this is her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. We are waiting the arrival of Dr. Ava, but we want to thank everyone for coming on. And you can also follow Dr. Ava Muhammad on Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter. You can find her on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad. So we want to make sure that you are tweeting and asking her questions, as well as you can go to avamuhammad.net to get her latest book, Naturally Beautiful, and, of course, her monumental book, Real Love. So we want to make sure that we're supporting our sister, Dr. Ava, with Naturally Beautiful and Real Love. And go to avamuhammad.net. So once again, you're here tuning in to Ask Dr. Ava. I'm her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And I'm not sure, but I think shortly, if not already, our contributor to our show on every Thursday night. Is Dr. Ridgely on the line? So if Dr. Ridgely is not here, we're waiting on everybody to come in. But so we're just going to go right ahead with the show. And like I said, call in at 347-324-5091. We want to make sure that everybody is continuing to go to watch The Time and What Must Be Done, The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You can go to NOI.org and make sure that you get a repeat and relook and restudy the lectures by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on The Time and What Must Be Done. As well as we want everyone to start to visit store.finalcall.com, store.finalcall.com. and get some of the latest lectures by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if you didn't know, he just recently spoke at Mosque Number 4 this past Sunday, and the title of that lecture was The Black Man and Woman Chosen Out of the Furnace of Affliction, as well as the lecture he did back on November the 22nd at Morgan State. And also at Mosque Number 6, We Are at War with the World of Satan. All of those lectures and DVDs and MP3s can be gotten at store.finalcall.com. So also, we was honored and blessed to be with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this Saturday as the tribute was given for our brother, Mayor Marion Barry, and all kinds of people were there in attendance, and it was a wonderful and beautiful tribute for our brother. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as always, gave a powerful message and a powerful delivery. And you can actually go back and see that message on his Facebook page, Louis Farrakhan's Facebook page, and also on Twitter. And you know it's already somewhere on YouTube, and to pull that particular lecture up. Also, we got to give a round of applause, and everybody hopefully will call in and talk about the powerful lecture that Dr. Ava gave this past Sunday, The Sin of Integration. It was one of her best. She put it down, she laid it down in reports across the country where they had the spirit of war. People wanted to go out. They had the warrior spirit, so she had to motivate and inspire people across the country to get up and move out and do something. Also,
that's
this
right.
Week, oh, there we go, our contributor. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava. How are you, Dr. Ridger? Lakers Salaam.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm listening.
Well, we thank
go ahead.
Yeah, so we're going to finish the announcements, and we're going to have some words for you because it's a lot that's going on. And once again, you're tuning to Ask Dr. Ava, and Dr. Ava will be on shortly. But also this weekend, Dr. Ava will be in her hometown of Chicago, and she will be doing another lecture. She'll be on a panel this week, this weekend, and it's a lecture or a discussion, Becoming a Survivor That Wins. What do you need to know about breast cancer, cervical cancer, and uterine cancer? And you'll hear live testimonies from our own sister emeritus, Sister Aisha Muhammad, Dr. Ava Muhammad, Dr. Peppers, and our own brother Antoine Muhammad will be this Saturday at 2 p.m. sharp at Muhammad University of Islam. So all those studying and learning and want to know about cancer and cancer survivor stories, come to MUI this Saturday at 2 p.m., put on by Lions Butterfly. And also part two of The Sin of Integration will be held at Mosque Number 1 on December the 21st. So those in the Detroit area, you can see and hear Dr. Ava and hear part two of The Sin of Integration at Mosque Number 1, as well as the Saturday before. She will be doing part of Sister Girl from Girl to Goddess, Naturally Beautiful, a fireside chat and intimate discussion for women only. That will be coming up Saturday, December the 20th, with Dr. Ava, and tickets are $30, and that's a program from 4 to 8 p.m. So as we're starting to wrap up, we also want just to remind everybody that there is a march, not necessarily sponsored by Al Sharpton, a march calling for justice for all, National Action Network, NAACP, the organization that Melanie Campbell is over, and the National Urban League, with a lot more partners, are having a march this Saturday starting at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., lining up at 10:30, as they're talking about all of the die-ins and the killings that have gone on. The families of Tamara Price will be there, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner's family will all be at this march that's going on Saturday. You can learn more at nationalactionnetwork.net. There was also a civil rights leaders and the youth meeting today to air out things that are going on behind the scenes, but we do know that we are in a fight. But I think we need to continue to listen to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for guidance. But I'm going to be quiet. But once again, you're listening to Ask Dr. Ava, and Dr. Ava will be back on shortly. And you can call in at 347-324-5091. Dr. Ridgely, did you have any updates or things that you would like people to know?
Well, the Ministry of Agriculture, you know, we have our Blog Talk radio program every week, and at Saturday at 8 o'clock at Blog Talk Radio, NYMOA. And we're going to discuss two things this week, the buying club and the book, Sheep, Sheepdog, and the Evil Shepherd, because it's all tied together with the time of what must be done and understanding the game that they're playing with us emotionally, in terms of these killing these young black men and women and making a very public display of their disdain for us. And, you know, this is because they're trying to get something started. I mean, they had us sleep for a number of years, making us think that there was a post-racial America, and that we can all get along, and our young people were not being told the truth, that this is still hell for the black man and woman, that we are at the bottom, and as long as we're with these people, we'll be at the bottom. And now they're just unleashing these killers, the sheepdogs, the watchmen, over the black community, as it's described by Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that we are the sheep. You know, we are God's sheep, and Christ, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is the good shepherd, but we are being manipulated by the evil shepherd who is playing games with the emotions of white people, non-Jewish white people, and black people. And these are the same people, these people who call themselves Jews, who were the ones who pushed for integration between black and white, knowing that white people cannot exist in the integrated situation because they would vanish because of the definition of themselves. They cannot have one drop of black blood, and the black blood is dominant and the black man is dominant. So the only way that white folks can be secure is to be separated or have us completely under subjugation. So there can be no real integration with white folks because they have this inferiority complex, insecurity. And the people who call themselves Jews know that and have pushed us together knowing that there will be retaliation by white people. So, you know, all of this is just to hide the fact that in the meantime, all the money in America and in the world is being sopped up by a few families. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has warned us about these international bankers, and these international bankers are playing games with the rest of the people to hide the fact that they're stealing money from everybody. So I didn't want to, you know, I'm not going to go too much further with that, but they can listen in this Saturday. They can also get the book, The Sheep, Sheepdog, and Evil Shepherd, by going to NOIMOA.com. That's the Nation of Islam, Ministry of Agriculture. And finding out what's going on. I mean, it's we're being played. And there's only one solution, and that is separation. You cannot live with these white people in peace because they're not at peace with themselves. So we will have to pull out before we get caught up in a very bloody mess.
Okay. I thank you for that, Dr. Richard. I think one of the things that you did say, you know, and people, we have to really understand who's in control and who's at power. And as I say that because, you know, as I'm looking at the power struggle or the perceived power struggle in the civil rights movement and the youth movement and how this is going on, and the enemy is just sitting back and watching us. And we do need to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because he has given us a clear picture and a clear target and opening and exposing to our own eyes and ears the enemy, so we know who is our open enemy that has been the same open enemy forever. But we need to continue to follow and listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I did forget to uplift a group. Malika Salam, man, welcome back.
Thank you. Go right ahead, though.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to turn it right back over to you, but I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Justice League out of New York, Sister Carmen Perez, and the group with Harry Belafonte. They had a press conference in New York, and there's been a lot of organizing in New York around I Can't Breathe and the Eric Garner case. Nas, hip-hop artist Nas, has come out. J. Cole has a new album, a song about being free, and he did, I guess, with Jay Leno, last night. I think it's Jay Leno, one of those talk show people last night. One of the hip hop artists, Immortal Technique, Russell Simmons, and Jay Z met with the governor to try to talk about reform. But as Dr. Ava spoke so eloquently and so powerful, why are we sitting down, meeting, and discussing and having conversations
as she laid out, there is no more time and no more room for conversations. We need to what? Pack our bags and leave. And as she said Sunday, we're not going far because we built this country, and we will be here as we heard the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the clip that she played on her powerful and dynamic warrior lecture this past Sunday, which you also can get by going to store.finalcall.com or just visiting avamuhammad.net to definitely get her books. And as I already stated, the locations that she will be next in Chicago at MUI and as well as Detroit on next week. But now, for the person that you have been waiting for, not to hear the co-host, but the host, the one and only, the one that as we witnessed this past Sunday, and I have to remember to say this, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was rocking on the East Coast in the Mid-Atlantic at March number 4. Sister Ava was throwing a left hook up in Chicago in the Central Region, and down in Charlotte, North Carolina, our brother, the Spark, Nuri Muhammad, was rocking down in Charlotte. So it was three the hard way, or three the bright light way this last past Sunday. So welcome your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum.
What lake is salam?
Well, certainly, and I pray I stay connected. I am on a cell phone, unfortunately, and I will hopefully, I'll try to transition over to a landline. Also, I'm waiting for our beloved screener, Sister Rona, because we're going to go to the phone shortly. We do have our line of callers, and that's what makes the show the place to be is not only myself, but the panel and, of course, the astute, brilliant, insightful callers and those who listen and visit. We've had more than 6,000 listeners and callers just in the month of November, the 30-day period. I'm sure will be even, which is fabulous, but it'll be even higher than that in December with these decisions coming down with regard to the murders of our brothers. And I just wanted to read something briefly, and then we can start the discussion, brothers. And I thank you both for what you have brought to the table. This week's final call has an article lifted from a book published by Minister Farrakhan 21 years ago. I mean, think about that. This is before Michael Brown was born, 21 years ago, Torchlight for America. And this excerpt is lifted from that book to demonstrate the predictive power of a divinely guided man. And I'm just going to lift this part. "The desire of the wicked is to harm me and to destroy the idea that I carry so that black people and all who listen cannot and will not make the type of progress that time demands. This is no different from the desire of the wicked to destroy Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Denmark Vesey, and all who have stood on behalf of the poor and rejected. It appears there is a genocidal plan against black people. The desire of many of those in power is maintenance of white supremacy. Whites and their institutions have created inferior-minded black people with a slave mentality. There are those who do not wish to see us as equals in society. So generation after generation of black people have been corrupted with a slave mentality, and generation after generation of white people have been poisoned with the doctrine of white supremacy. The presence of truth condemns both mindsets. The time of white supremacy and black inferiority is over. This is why it appears that an organized effort is underway to destroy black youth. youth are more readily inhaling the ideas and truths that can free the mind from the former controlling forces of white supremacy and black inferiority. Their hearts and minds incline toward interest in self-knowledge. As a result, there are those who fear that our youth are no longer afraid to resist white supremacy and reject its efforts. Notice how the police and the judicial system do not treat our youth as children. Our 14 and 18-year-olds are killed in police stations, and officers lie to explain their deaths. They hang themselves with their own shoestrings and other such foolishness. All too often, the Justice Department of the U.S. government is weak in pursuing the truth about what the black community believes are wrongful deaths at the hands of law enforcement. They fear our youth. They fear the gangs, because prior to the gangs, the police were the only gang in town. I'm going to stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is phenomenal. It is as though he said that this morning.
Right.
And he told us 21 years ago, he laid out the plan of genocide. They don't want truth because this is the end of this world. Why? It's the end of white supremacy and black inferiority, which is the complete basis for the existence of this world. Once those two doctrines disintegrate, this whole world will disintegrate with it. And it's happening right now. So I just wanted to start us off with that.
I know, and you brought something out that makes me think about a conversation that was had. You know, blessed by the grace of Allah in the career that I'm in, to be in a lot of different conversations, a lot of different circles, as it relates to this dialogue. And one of the conversations that's been talked about is that we understand that Ferguson is one of the places that have set things off, but Ferguson is not, you know, the beginning of this whole story. Ferguson just brought to attention the reality of what's been going on across the country for hundreds of years. And for black people, we've been understanding that it's been going on. And I always reference Boys in the Hood at the end when Doughboy Ice Cube says either they don't know or they don't care what's going on in the hood because it's been going on. So it's nothing new. So it's interesting that after Ferguson happened, we're now seeing a barrage of killings, so many more killings that are hitting the news, hitting social media. I know Sister Inaja and Malik Zula Shabazz are now dealing with a case out in Phoenix, Arizona, and there's so much going on. And like you said, the police have not changed from their inception, from finding runaway slaves, which they was created for, to kill us. That same pattern is still going on today. So, as you said, Dr. Avila, what is the purpose of talking and negotiating? And negotiating what? Not to negotiate into a system that is rotten from its core. So, new training in the same system is not going to change our condition.
Not at all. And, you know, to your point about the power of music and lyrics, in the early 70s, Stevie Wonder, and my husband's been playing it on my WVON show during breaks, but Stevie Wonder's song, Big Brother, and one of the verses in the song says, "You kill all our leaders. We don't even have to do nothing to you. You cause your own country to fall." And that capsulizes what is going on right now, and again, what Minister Farrakhan stated. And as you referenced, Brother Terrence, the clip that I played Sunday of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which every black person should see. And in fact, we're so blessed with technology. Instead of going on the internet and talking about what somebody had to drink or what you had for lunch, or I'm walking into the bathroom, or looking at the Kardashians or the Housewives of Atlanta or Scandal, look at clips of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. And the reason I say look at the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, whose name we say every day, most of us, you know, he has implored us to study the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because when you study him, you see how the minister arrived where he is.
That's right.
Because if we've been with him a long time, whether we are registered in the nation, supporters, empathizers, whatever, at some point in development, you have to move to a different level of knowledge. We have to go beyond "that's right" and clapping. That's what we did when we came in. That's what we did when we were lost found in the audience and hadn't heard anything. As our knowledge and level of comprehension of who he is evolves, we should now be at a level where we're studying how Minister Farrakhan got from point A to point B.
That's the pedagogy
of Farrakhan. You know, the method of teaching that he was, that he underwent, and then his method of teaching, not just what he says, not just what he does, but the manner in which he does it. Because that is a true statement. It's not what you do, it's how you do it, but it is what you do. That's white people. They always want to exempt something. It is what you do, and it is how you do it.
That's right.
You know, and so when I saw that clip, and Dr. Ridgely, you and I talked about it earlier this week, you know, I'm sitting there looking at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how poised this man is.
Yes.
And focused. He's completely focused. He's not looking at him. You know, you see people on TV, they're actually literally looking at themselves in the camera, or they're trying to perform, especially the Negroes on TV.
Right.
And he was completely uncaring about those kinds of things. And he said to Irvin Kupcinet right at the outset, he let him know in advance, everything I'm going to say is from my teacher.
Right.
Nothing I am saying to you or will say to you is of myself. And remember he said, when the white boy asked him, he said, we have questions we want you to answer. He didn't raise his voice, but he immediately made an idiot of him. And he said, yes, I am. I'm happy to be able to answer the questions as I have answered them for years.
Right.
You know, but that manner in which he handles that entire interview, along with what he says, which is just devastating to everything that the white man brings him. He just obliterates. And like you said, Dr. Ridgely, he's speaking with the accent and the inflections of a grandson of slaves from southern Georgia.
Right. So, you know,
and yet everything
like
he says is perfect.
Right. It's not like he's has all this education, but he's been educated by somebody that has all the answers. So he's just sitting, listening to this man, and then, you know, looking at him like, you know, I'm here on this planet, and here's one of these species. Let me see if I can communicate with this person, because he just doesn't get it.
Right, exactly.
And he doesn't get upset. He's no vitriol to what he's saying. You know, so I love it when they ask him, but you know, most Negroes, when you agree to most Negroes, then he says, well, yes, but, you know, most Negroes don't know that, have a knowledge of themselves, so I'm here to teach them. That's what I'm here
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
You know,
oh, my God. Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? But that's,
and when he named the leaders, when the guy said Negro leaders such as, you know, Whitney Young and Ralph Bunche and Dr. King, And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, well, you know, they're just as dumb as those that they are attempting to lead. I have to teach them also. as I just said, they lack, because, well, most Negroes want to go live. Well, maybe they do. They don't know. And there is a part two and three to that interview, because I think it lasted like a half an hour. And I would exhort everyone to just go on YouTube and interview with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, it said 73 on the screen, but it's 63 on the YouTube link. And I think it had to be in the 60s because Dr. King is still among the people. Whitney Young is a known name. So I'm pretty sure it was 63. And then the way that he looked very, very youthful himself. Because at that time he would have been 63 or something like that. Let's see, 66. 1897. And he had that round, youthful face. He looks 20 years younger than that. But he's sitting there, and it's teaching us. He's in a suit and tie, you know, which affects your listener. You know, if you're up there with your with some dungarees on, you know, trying to bring it, what you're bringing is going to be on the level that you project, and your appearance is part of that. But there's another part where Cupsinet says to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then I'm going to be quiet and go to the phones, I got to share this. He said, well, you know, Mr. Muhammad, you have, from what we know, about 100,000 followers. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not even acknowledging or saying yay or nay. He said, you got about 100,000 followers, but yet there are millions of Negroes. And he said, over 90% of them want to be part of America. And you feel you can go and start a new nation, a separate territory with 100,000? And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad looks at him and says, your civilization began with 59,000. And old boy is just stunned. He goes on to the next. There's this moment of silence.
Right.
You know, your civilization. I mean, he went there. Okay.
Woo.
Oh my God. And this is where I think we're lacking. We need to forget about all this paralysis by analysis and all of that. Just go straight to the jugular, okay? I mean, he just came straight from his teacher, from God, from the lessons. Yeah, he said, your civilization started with 59,000. And old boy didn't dare ask him to explain.
Right.
He sat there looking at him like, if you want to go there, I'll take you there.
Right. Yeah, you
want to
know?
Okay, but my man was quiet. Yes, sir.
Well, see, that's supreme confidence, because he has supreme wisdom that he got from God in person, and he just knows that. That's why I make the statement.
Right.
Why, you know, I was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, it's called the First Resurrection. Some people call it that. And, you know, we were afraid to go against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because we knew that he was the messenger of Allah. You know, it was like, you know, he said something, go left, we go left. He said, go right, we go right, because we were afraid to do otherwise. And you look at that video and you see why we were afraid to go otherwise, because this man exuberated the supreme confidence of one who was being guided and protected by God.
Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to go to the lines. We're going to go to the 901 area code. And open that up with Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum salam, sister. This is Brother Hoyle from Memphis.
All right, Brother Hoyle. Alaykum. Top of the line tonight. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Excellent. I just want to congratulate you with the excellent speech Sunday. You had us
praise
almost doing the Muslim Holy Ghost up in there.
That's right.
Sister, I mean, you were awesome. I wanted to say, now this is, you read something from the Torchlight, and to in that same paper, this new paper is powerful. I want to go to the
Honorable
Elijah Muhammad.
Isn't it? Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. This is the last part of his article, The Fall of America, Separation is the Answer. And listen what it says. I want to say, As-salamu alaykum, Brother Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence.
Leave flying, brother.
Yes, sir. And it says, when the cities are set on fire, this is a sign of the end of you as a power. This is reprinted from The Fall of America. Now, what we see going on, sister?
Mm-hmm.
And I
want
to go to when the cities, and I'm going to repeat it again. It says, when the cities are set on fire, this is a sign of the end of you as a power. That's from that article in this paper. But going to Brother Jabril in last week's paper said, he asked the minister a question. He said, what has gotten into these police officers, Brother Minister? Were they just shooting black men down without hesitation? Do you think this is something being taught to them inside their police academies? And the minister answered. He said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a debate with the Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan in the late 1950s. He said to Elijah Muhammad in the writings to him that, in the future, we would, now this is from the Ku Klux Klan, the Grand Wizard. He says, in the future, we would not wear the white robe or the white hooded mm-hmm. sheets, but we will be in the police department, we will be in politics, we will be in the courts of law. This is what you're seeing today. Absolute hatred of blacks that is being fed, yes, in some of these police trainings, but it's mm-hmm. deeper than that. It's in the nature of those who are now armed and dangerous
right.
and full of hatred for the black people, particularly
right.
the black youth. So I was just following up, piggybacking what you were coming from the Torchlight, which is a powerful book. Sister Ava, has the new Torchlight of America book come out? It was supposed to be revised.
Yes, and it's still, I don't know, somewhere there's a lot of material that is in the pending stage, but that is one of them. Yes, there
okay,
is a revised
yes,
edition of Torchlight coming out very soon.
Yes, because I did a lot of teaching out of that Torchlight. That's a powerful
yes,
book.
Sir.
But this is an
it
awesome.
It is.
We're seeing the fall of America as we speak, and all we got to do is to add to that sister not only study, but let's bring these 17 million plus the 2 million in to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's get out with this paper, FOI, sisters, brother. Let's bring guests to the mosque, and let's let the world know who that man is. And sister, you're
that's
doing
right.
an excellent job through your teaching.
Thank you,
the
sir.
The brothers, the ministers through the nation, and all of us are ministers. So we
yes,
just
sir.
Have to get out here and warn our people. So brothers and sisters, I'm
amen.
Just listening, and you're doing an excellent job, sister. May Allah
thank
bless
you,
all
sir.
Of you. As-salamu alaykum.
You as well. Wa alaykum salam, sir. We're going to go, we're here in Chicago, 773-449 exchange.
Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome to Elevated Places. Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Tanya from Chicago.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to call and say that I did have the pleasure of hearing you speak at Mosque Maryam last Sunday. And I just wanted to thank you for keeping separation at the forefront of everything.
Oh, yes,
you know, I do my best to listen to the show each week. And, you know, I tell everybody, I love Sister Ava, I mean, for a number of reasons, but primarily because she never hesitates to discuss separation, because I still believe that there are so many of us who are desperately trying to hold on and find a way to make all of this work out and, you know, reform this this current system and just find a way to, you know, to squeeze our way in and hope that it's ultimately going to work out for the best.
Mm.
And, you know, when you made mention of the fact that you were going to come to the TV and take a hostage if you heard one more person.
Well,
they
well,
wanted to have a
right.
conversation. I was thinking, well, wow, I need to take, you know, two or three myself, because it really is disturbing to watch our people continue to say that we need to have conversations about things that are obviously very clear. But I won't be too much longer. I just wanted to say thank you and assalamu alaikum.
Well, you are more than welcome. Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful call. And I love what, as you said, she's going to take two or three herself. I love that whole analysis. That is exactly what the problem is at this moment, in a capsule. So many of our people, and that was the conversation with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in that interview, most of your people, a lot of your people, they want to stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bet they're holding over. See, now we are moving into the Noah's Ark phase, the Promised Land phase. You know what? If you want to stay here, stay here.
That's right.
All right? That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used the term allowed to establish a separate state or territory. I'm going to make that plain in part two of the Sin of Integration. See, he said allowed, not we need their permission to separate, but don't make all these Negroes who love you, don't make them come with us.
Right. Because
we don't want them. We don't want them. All right? We want everybody to be where they, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches, when he's talking about marriage, when he's talking about being on a post, he said, in fact, he I'll just share this, he has told us on the staff, you know, because he does this 24/7, okay? He doesn't do this. This is not an extracurricular activity. And he tells us that, you know, if you got other things to do, okay, if you're married and you're not happy, go where you are comfortable.
Yes, ma'am.
Go where you are comfortable. And that's a life principle.
That's right.
Okay? So brothers that want to be with a white woman, sisters want to be with a white man, Negroes who just want to be around white people and jingle and jangle for them and laugh and love them and bow to them and worship Santa Claus. You know, more power to you. Knock yourself out. Okay,
that's
so
right.
We're allowed to do this. We don't have to. That's what he means. Don't
that's
get
right.
him wrong. He's not seeking permission. So thank you, Sister Tanya. It's a beautiful call. Beautiful
yeah.
call. Okay, we're going to 972, who has been holding a bit. Well, everybody has now. 972. 533, you're live.
How are you doing? Oh, my gosh, how are you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We're doing great. How are you doing?
On. I'm doing fine last week.
How
I tried
doing?
And I couldn't get on. And so I'm really surprised that I got on so early.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to also say that you did an outstanding job, Sister Ava. I mean, just knocked them out.
Thank you.
Knocked you right out the park. And I'm really kind of going by what I was thinking about, what I wanted to mention to you on last week. I was thinking about how I keep seeing these our lives matter, our Black Lives Matter. And
yes,
I was
ma'am.
Like, who are we trying to convince?
Mm.
You know, I'm like, I'm so sick
exactly.
and tired of hearing
oh, God,
Black
yes.
people say Black Lives Matter. And I'm like, don't. The problem is that we don't know that our lives matter, or else we would get the heck out. You know, I mean,
that's
it would
exactly
be very
right.
easy for us to come to the conclusion that it's time to go if we understood our lives matter. And so,
right.
you know, that's the point that we have to try to get to our people, because we're not getting it. You know, we don't mind
that's
staying
an
around another 100 years with our children dying. Some of us don't have a problem with that. We think that, oh, we're so close
right.
to being with white people that, oh, my God,
right.
you know, we're almost there. And I'm like, you're never going to get there.
That's
and,
right.
you know, our children, is even one child's life is not worth that sacrifice in order for us to
that's
be
right.
just and equal with white people. That's not an okay sacrifice.
No, it's not. That's not a good deal. I don't like the deal. You know.
Yeah.
That's a. You know, we and I think you said a lot, Dr. Richard. We you need to be able to willing to get up and walk away from the table. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like you hear some of the children saying, the youth, they say we're opting out. We're opting
yes.
out.
Right.
See.
Right.
Which really is from the teachings. That's from the minister. And when you, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm bringing it up in part two because that's another phrase that really sends me up the wall.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes,
along with we need a conversation and and body cameras and training. You know,
yes,
this
ma'am.
Black Lives Matter, I mean, are you serious?
Yes, ma'am.
Do we realize that's a reduction? You know, a human life is priceless.
That's right.
But see, that again, that's on the list from white folks of approved for the market language.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. See, there's things mm-hmm. that they're approved, and that's one of them. And that is not a mentality I teach my children. You don't ever mm-hmm. have to convince anybody that your life matters.
Right.
It's a gift.
You know,
that's a gift from Allah. Yes, sir.
You know, I was just in my truck had a breakdown, and I was in the middle of nowhere, and which I am a lot of times out here at the farm and out in this countryside, and I was thinking, I said, I'm out here by myself. Now, why do I have to worry that the person who comes up to me, if he's white, that he might kill me?
That's right.
Come on.
So
think about
that. Why
do
I have to live like that in a country
yes.
where you know if you're by yourself in the dark, you got to worry not about a bear, not about a tiger, not about a lion,
come on.
About another human being who's yes. who, because I'm black and he's white, he may take the opportunity to kill me.
Yes.
Now, why would I want to
takes.
Live in a
yeah.
country like that? And that's what
yes.
we're facing.
There it is.
Yes,
and yes. see, we're in denial, though, Dr. Rizzi, that is what it is. As you
right.
all of you are
no
saying, it's not beyond that. See, we're trying to stack all these other things on top of it. It's training. We need mm-hmm. a video. We're seeing everything as clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
Even USA Today, their poll, 57% of those polled said that the grand jury was wrong in the Eric Garner no bill. When you have someone as racist as Glenn Beck, who's mm-hmm. about right there with Rush Limbaugh, say he cannot understand, this is Glenn Beck, he said he could not understand why there was not at least a voluntary manslaughter. So you just have a state of denial for our people. And this gives them something to hang on to. And again, they can just stay right here. But thank you, beloved, for the beautiful call.
Yes,
and I'm going to add that.
Wa
alaikum salam, ma'am. Yeah, that's a great, great point with regard to that Black Lives Matter. I don't like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think also, Dr. Ava, I just wanted to jump in on that comment. It's two things that one of the things that Brother Dr. Ridgely brought up, and I remember when I was in the mountains, and I remember making a joke about
right.
Letting people know where I am.
Right.
But initially, I was going to leave
yeah.
around 1 and 2 in the morning and then get to my get to the airport. But I was like, I'm up in the top of the mountains. Even though I have a rental car break down too. And
that's
what
right.
would happen if I break down at 1, 2, 3 in the morning in the mountains?
Right.
What door am I going to
that's
knock
right.
on? So immediately I said, let me get my butt up and out of here, and I sleep in the airport if I have to. I'm just not going to get broke down up in no mountains because that's a reality. So when
like
the
that.
Slogan, you know, they had they talked about Smith College president apologized for an email saying all lives matters, is because it's in that nature that black people don't want to hear about all lives matter when they're the subject of torture and abuse and racial profiling and police brutality on a day-to-day basis. So, no, we're not trying to incorporate everybody's struggle. We're not incorporating your struggle, their struggle. No, Black Lives Matter, and we're putting that to the forefront. Just like, no, we're not having a conversation. Separation is the best and only solution. And I think that's where this conversation of Black Lives Matter, because we want to get very specific and very direct of what we're talking about. No, we're
yeah,
not talking about
yeah,
little white
so it's
children.
It's not misunderstood.
Yeah.
Right, because it makes it seem like we're animals, or you know how like the humane society.
Right.
Like,
right.
oh, you know, you should, you know, if you run over a dog, You know, that'll get you in a lot of trouble with white people.
Right.
You know, if you're found beating a seal to death or something like that, well, mm-hmm. that puts us to see for people to have to be taught and persuaded that I am worth living is not the way we want to go. And if we have to say that, like Dr. Ridge is saying, if we have to say that to you, and if we have to walk around with our heads spinning around like a praying mantis, and not see, we're about back to the sundown laws.
Right.
Even though Michael Brown and Eric Garner were killed in broad daylight,
right.
And just the same thing. We drove to Ohio the other weekend. We're coming back that I-65. And when night falls between Indianapolis and Chicago, that stretch, nothing but cornfields, pitch black.
More.
Right.
You know, and I was telling my husband, because he can be a little heavy on the accelerator, you know, and I said, you know, you better be cool, because we don't, you know, I mean, you know what's going on. We don't need to get pulled over. Yeah, we have the girls with us. See, I mean, because this we're in a war zone, coast to coast. This is a coast to coast war zone that we are now. But I got to go to 678. I think I know who this is, but I don't have my screener. So 678, 670.
Assalamu alaikum.
Is this Brother Keith?
Yeah, the one and only. True and Yes, I have a comment, and I would like to have some feedback to see what you guys think about it.
All right.
Now, a solution or idea I had in mind is that black people are those classified as the five essential, do as the Mormons did, move and choose a Pacific section of North America to be more Pacific, in my opinion, a rural section with access to the sea or rivers or lakes, et cetera, and a foreign border, and develop a black nation state, where we can develop our own society based on our own system of governance that we choose and develop and or develop what I call black power enclaves in every major city and towns where we are the majority population that is certain as a center of black progress, high culture, civilization, and power. What do you all think of this? How do you think this can be applied in present time? Or do you think this is applicable to our present condition right now? I want to hear from all of you.
Okay,
well,
I get it started.
Number one, the promised land is over Jordan. I mean Georgia. Georgia fits that description in terms of having access to the sea, having a lot of rivers, good land, rural area. So I'm inviting everybody. Let's go start off here in Georgia. Okay, that's one. And two, I think Minister Avery can address this. Stop laughing, Brother Terrence. Stop laughing. Can address this that you can just actually carve out within your city. You can carve out in territory right there if you are willing to do it and have your own police force and services right there and make your own city wherever you want to make it, even in the middle of another city. It's just a matter of having a mindset.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, I think when I said Georgia Sunday, that was a 40-year slip. You know, because they had me corrected. But when I thought back on it, I mean, we're not doing Jordan right now. We probably are going to do Georgia. And, of course, Georgia's where Christ was born.
Go ahead.
I mean,
go ahead.
What are we going to do, give the Holy Land to somebody else? I don't think so.
Go ahead.
But go ahead, Brother Terrence.
No. but it's funny, but I think, you know, I will go back to, you know, it's a couple of things I will go back to. One is the lecture when we had student minister Robert Muhammad from the Southwest, and he laid out, you know, since he does city planning, and he laid out what that would look like if we had our own city. And I think the brother has a legitimate question. I will always go back to this. Support the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the things that he tells us to do. That's the economic blueprint. Go to economicblueprint.org and support that with your $18.21 a year, 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week. That's all. But we would not even do that. So if we would do that collectively, we would have enough money to do that, which we have the ideal to do, but we need currency to buy the land. And
that's
then
right.
Once we buy the land, then we can start doing the things and have Brother Robert come and do the city planning of which is the best land, what's the best port. And we already had a presentation, and we have the knowledge of what's going on in Detroit. We have Dr. Ridgely in Georgia. So when are we going to have the mindset to move there? So even if that is a good plan and that is the plan that we want to do, Dr. Ridgely will even come back and say, well, we want to move, but if most of us move, most of us are not prepared to live outside of a city life without technology
right.
or social media or even a microwave or fast food. So we have to start getting into the culture and the lifestyle of being independent, meaning that we need to start living to amongst one another right now. We don't have to have our own land to buy. If you're in an apartment, get into the same apartment complex. We don't have
right.
to wait to get on our own land to move into a same community like other people do. And once they are there, they are the majority. They control the economics and the politics of that city because they're there in numbers. We have to start
yes,
developing
sir.
The mindset so we
yes,
be ready
sir.
When that land comes.
Let me and let me just give an example. We're all familiar with the Vatican City. The Vatican.
Mm.
That is where the Pope, the leader of the Christian Church, lives. Now, the Vatican, and just in terms of letting us have an idea, it's 0.2 square miles. 0.2 square miles. It's the size of an average golf course. It is not a state, it is a country.
Listen, a country.
Vatican City is a country. It is the
That's
smallest
right.
country in the world based on landmass. So we do, and I'm glad you all are bringing this up, that we have to think this through on a rational basis. And like somebody that was saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You know, if we look at white man's civilization, we can get overwhelmed. But just remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sat there in that interview
right.
and looked him in the eye
right.
and said, you started your civilization with 59,000 people.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, in other words, I got almost twice as many or more than you have. Now, the Vatican is landlocked. It's inside of Rome, inside
right.
of Italy.
Right.
And yet it is still a country. So to Dr. Ridgely's point about Georgia meeting the requisites that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave with rich soil and access to waterways. So you're going right down to the Gulf of Mexico and on out into the ocean. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he always said in the lectures I heard, read several states. The other thing is when he says a separate state or territory, by state, he's talking about the sovereignty of it.
Right.
Okay, we're not limited to the United States, each of these 50 states, and defined. They're not just defined geographically. They have a legal stature as well. So when we say separate state, for example, if we had Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi, we're not going to break them up like that.
Right.
We would all be in one thing that we would name, the Nation
right.
of Islam. We're not going to keep calling it Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi.
That's right.
And have lines and, oh, you crossed over, so you're with the Mississippi FOI, and these are our laws. No, we live under Allah's law.
That's right.
So when we say a state, it may consume 5 or 10 of theirs.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Keep that in mind.
And going back to the analogy of the Vatican, it may be the smallest country in the world, but the amount of money that they control.
Hey, look at
okay.
that.
They got
they
a whole lot of money. They control the resources. And every place where they have their Catholic church and the diocese, you know, that's a part of their world. And they send money back to the Vatican from all over
that's
the world.
Right.
So it's not a matter of size. It's a matter of mindset and intent and
exactly.
the willingness to sacrifice and to sit together and to work together.
That's beautiful. Beautifully
not
said.
David.
Yes, sir.
You know, I agree with totally what you guys are saying, but, you know, Brother Terrence, in the meantime, in between time, well, when I said enclaves, you know, enclave, that's simply what we call, like, Little Chinatown and things of that nature.
Right.
Oh, yes,
saying,
sir.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And plus,
Hyde Park in Chicago. Yes.
You know,
right.
Yeah, whatever. You know, and I, you know, I'm a firm believer. I think we need to have a black version of the Berlin Conference, but this time, we ain't cutting up Africa. We're going to cut up America and give it to our people.
Mm.
Well, that's exactly. Listen, Allah has ordained it, and I really appreciate your call. Allah has ordained it, so it's going to happen. It is going to happen. We've got, I think that Sister Nisi is on, 415.
I'm alaikum.
Wow,
alaikum. Alaikum, Dr. Ava, and your power panel. Dr. Terrence,
right.
Dr. Ridgely, praise be to Allah. I feel like everything in my head has been said, but what was coming, have you heard, I just found out about this documentary called Detropia. Are you familiar with that? And
no.
I guess it's been out for quite some time, but it's showing the history of the Detroit and how, you know, the plants went down and everything. But what I thought was interesting when it opens up, it says that, I didn't know this, it says that in 1930 that Detroit was the number one fastest growing city in the world.
Mm.
I didn't know that. I said, wow, okay. And
right.
one of the people, one of the brothers on there, you know, everyone's really – down and, you know, what we gonna do, and they need to bring the plants. It just really stuck in time on
yes.
what can happen now. But it's looking at bringing the past back forward, and I'm watching it going, wow, you know, our mindset as a people. And so they point out this one brother, he's mature, up in age, he's like in his Cadillac or whatever. And they're like, yeah, you know, he used to work 18 hours a day. You know, he deserves this. And I thought, wow, the mundane process of building the white man's world. Now, what if we were spending and had a mindset to spend 18 hours a day, as Brother Terrence, Dr. Terrence just said, with the economic blueprint? You know, closing this,
unbelievable.
You know, it's like, the protesting, you know, it's like this excitement, protest, protest, and it's emotional. But at a certain point, you know, there is a mundane process that you cannot get around. America was, first of all, we built America. And in
that's
that,
right.
look what was happening with us in that process. So, and then just, I know it's a totally different place, but you see that Beverly Johnson has decided to join the fray.
No, I did not.
Oh.
Yeah, saw the day.
Wow. Yeah, Beverly Johnson. You didn't see that? Oh, Lord, she's come out in Vanity Fair.
Right.
About Bill
whole,
Cosby?
Oh,
yep.
yes, that
yep.
she had
wow.
a whole thing, and he put drug in her cappuccino, something, whatever. But really reading the article, it's a lot because it's just it really sounds contrived, unfortunately, in reading it.
Yes.
And at the end of it, she's saying that out of the experience, she's a board member of the Sinatra board for abused women or something. That's how the article ends with her saying that out of this, you know, you've got to read. But anyway, that was not the main thing,
yes,
but I just had to get that in there. But yes, this whole, and praise be to Allah for your Sunday lecture. I hope we can get them on MP3 downloads. Because
yes, ma'am. We're
going to listen to it over
Yeah.
And over. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you. Beautiful call, and I guess I have to listen to it, too, because I was not myself. I was myself, but I am so furious over what is happening to us. And at the same time, though, as I shared with our people, because I know they need relief from understanding why, we do have to recognize we are getting a whipping.
That's right.
We're getting that whipping that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first and then Minister Farrakhan have told us we would get for years. That's going back to, you know, not being in denial. We're getting a whipping. What is worse than having your children slaughtered around you?
That's right.
We're getting our behind kicked. And it is by the enemy, but it is with Allah's permission. It is with his permission, and it is written in both the Bible and the Quran, which I read only some of. The disrespect, the disobedience, the disbelief after Moses brought the children of Israel out from under Pharaoh. And, you know, there's a, you brothers may know that, or one of the callers, Brother Burvey showed this to us in the council meeting. There's a clip out where this young Jewish reporter is in Ferguson, and I guess he calls himself having nerve. He's in Yemen or Afghanistan. So he decides he's going to just walk among the young brothers and question them about what they are doing and why, et cetera. And this takes place at night. And these are young brothers that I would place somewhere like in the 17 to 21 year range. They're like Michael Brown's age. And they all have, most of them have, handkerchiefs or some sort of face and mouth covering, which is to protect them from the tear gas. But it's such an awesome sight because they look like warriors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this little Jewish boy, he's questioning them about why they're out there, what they expect, and why are you upset. And so during the course of it, and of course all of their sentences are peppered with the F word and all of that, but it doesn't matter. One of them said, this country is built on white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said, the Jews said, well, you hate me. Why do you hate white people? We don't hate white people, but you are the devil. Oh, it was all
good.
Okay. And it just went on and on. I mean, this is something you got to see it and bathe in this, bask in this. If you have any doubt that the work that the minister has done and then our little bit that we may have thrown in, in the ocean. But the coup de grace for me was when one young brother, oh, my God, the reporter says to him, well, I'm Jewish. Brother said, and the brother was taller than him, tall, slim, dark-skinned, beautiful brother. He says, you're not Jewish. I'm the Jew.
Go ahead.
You are not the real Jew. I am the real Jew. I thought old boy was going to melt like the witch in the Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
You know, when they threw water on her behind and she just melted. This thing is phenomenal. It needs to go everywhere. But if anybody can, it's on YouTube, it's on the internet, and I think it's the capital. I saw the capital letters AMI. Now I don't know
A-M-I.
If that's the name of the outlet. Yeah, AMI,
okay.
Like all caps. But Brother Burvey has it, and it was on, it was just during, you know, since the Ferguson events have unfolded, this was done. And, of course, you know you're not going to see it. on mainstream news outlets because of the answers. And then one brother got so angry, they had to pull him away. Because he was telling the reporter, you're really stupid. You know, he asked him a question. And he said, if you don't know the answer, you don't know the answer to that. I mean, and I'm told that Minister Farrakhan saw it, and when he saw it, he said, those are my babies.
That's right. That's right.
Because that's all I could think is that this is the teachings. And just as the Holy Quran, Allah tells us how the wicked, in their effort to avoid destruction, actually bring about their destruction. Just like the captain on the Titanic, the mm-hmm. crew, they tried to turn at the last minute. You know, if they had crashed directly into the iceberg, they would have got stuck and would have just languished there until help came. But when you try to avert that which is coming your way from Allah, you actually bring it about yourself. So I say that to say, the white man, knowing his time is over, he went to work relentlessly after the Million Man March.
Right.
And destroyed our babies. He threw them out of school, out of the school system.
Right.
He did what Minister Farrakhan said in the torchlight, in the final call. Our children are not viewed or defined as children.
That's right.
And that has become abundantly clear with Michael Brown, Hulk Hogan, a demon, this big 6'4". The super predator that they wrote about right before the Million Man March, the little researchers did a study on black boys between the ages of 7 and 10 and called them super predators, like some sort of alien creature. And so our children, like I read Sunday, here's a boy shoots a dog. Yes, he's wrong. Yes, he's in somebody's house. But he shot a dog. And he got 23 years. But the cop that murdered Eric Garner in front of us got not even a fine. You see?
Unbelievable.
So, unbelievable. But by throwing our children out into the streets, they are now without any investment in America. They have no education. They have no job. They have no desire to be assimilated. Because not only are they cut off from the white man, they're cut off from their Negro grandparents who want to be part of this. So they're just out in the street. They are ready to become part of that great army that is made in the book of Numbers.
And Dr. Ava, just to add on to everything that you were just saying, that it's AMI, and last name is HORROWITZ. That's the person's name, and it's Ferguson protesters called for Darren Wilson. It's about a little bit over three minute clip on YouTube. It was put out about a week ago. For those
so
that
that's
go
the
find.
Name of the reporter.
Yes.
Right.
A M I. Spell that again for the listeners.
A M I. First name, then H O R O W I T Z. That's
Horowitz.
The name of the reporter. And it's Ferguson protesters call for Darren Wilson. And it's like over about 3 minutes, 38 seconds. So it's on a YouTube clip, and that shows what you're saying. And, you know, and it's interesting that that happened because lately, in the last couple of days, I have been getting calls. And I can say to the Hip Hop Caucus, but they have been calling other people. Some reporters are literally, one reporter said, I will fly to where you are because I want to ride with you, and I'm concentrating on youth. to hear. I don't really care about the main speaker, the big protest. I want to figure out what the youth are saying and what they're doing and what they're organizing. They would literally want to ride the whatever. If I was driving with a group of people, they wanted to ride in my car and then be there at the march and see what our thoughts or what their opinions are. So
yes,
it's very
yes,
key
sir.
that's going on.
Well, and see, when he said, when they titled it Call for Darren Wilson, Call for Darren Wilson's Death, because when they were asked what should happen to this Darren Wilson, they said he should be executed, he should be killed. So, and one brother said he should get the same thing that the brother got in the street, and the reporter said, well, what is that? He said, expedited justice. But to a person, they all said he needs to be executed. Because of the murder.
You know, that in the history of that, I think Brother Terrence can bear witness, that when Michael Brown was lying there and nobody was taking care of him, the people didn't riot, didn't start shooting and throwing bricks until they built a little memorial for him there on the spot and on the other side of the police line. And then they brought out police dogs, and the police dog went over and urinated on the memorial, and that was it. And then they killed him, then they dissed him. And so for those who don't understand, to be dissed, you know, the young people are not coming back. You can't bring them back because they were dissed, and he was dissed. So now it made it very clear as to how they represent us, how they feel about us. So now it's on. Now we have to give that guidance by following the minister and give a place for these young people, because once they have expressed their anger, then they need a place to come home to actually build something for themselves.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We're going to go back to the phones. My screen is acting a little crazy here. But I wanted to get Sister Zahira has been holding for a long time. 469 area code. Sister Zahira?
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamualaikum,
Sister Ava and family.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh.
Thank you to Allah for using you on Sunday, Sister Ava. I didn't want to move. I couldn't move. I just had to stay and hear every word that you said, and I never get enough of listening to you. And I thank Allah for using you on Sunday and for the message that you sent to the family.
Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And I had several things to say, and each time I would jot something down, you all would hit on it. I was just speaking with my niece earlier today, and we both were talking about Noah and the ark, and I told her, I said, well, God told Noah, build the ark. Don't worry about the naysayers. Those that are supposed to be on board will be on board. And when he told Noah to close it up, it was closed. If you were on the outside looking in, you were in trouble, basically. And we just spoke about that like 3 hours ago. And then when you all were speaking about the people, all of this talk, everybody with a talk show, they want to talk to keep their pocketbooks in order. And I'm along the same lines with you and your sentiments about choking someone. I really feel like choking a couple of folks every now and again. And speaking of the expedited justice, it was something that I wrote down last week, and it just comes to fruition this week. It was a song by the brother Ice Cube back in the 90s, and he was speaking about NWA and how they were under the Jewish guy that they were under. I don't know if I could repeat what he said. but he was basically along the lines of expedited justice as well.
Right.
I hear you. All right. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm not sure if you were aware of this, but this is just a side note on the attempts of the House and Senate to pass this spending bill that includes another bailout for the banks again. And allegedly, our president has instructed them to go ahead and you know why, Sister Ava, I say allegedly. He's instructed them to go ahead and pass the bill with this this taxpayer bailout being a part of it all over again, and it's all by design, divine design. So I
yes,
thank
ma'am.
You again for taking my call.
Thank you.
And my last comment is my favorite song that I play on a daily basis now by the brother James Brown, and that's The Big Payback.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam, man. We got another special caller. Yes, sir. Real quick. We're down to 9 minutes.
Okay, the situation with the banks and the bailout.
Yes.
There's another piece to that. They've just has put in place a system by which the next time that the banks go down, that the system goes down, the big banks are going to be able to turn their liabilities into assets. And that means that the liabilities that they have are the deposits of the depositors. So when they have this big fall they're going to have in 2016, they're going to take all the money that you have put into the banks and take it as assets to pay off their debts. So we just want to let you know that they get ready to rip everybody off.
Well,
also
the yes,
okay.
Sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now.
Oh, okay, excellent. Okay, yeah, and of course, that is why their dollar is declining so quickly too.
That's right.
And we need to, as the minister said, convert those dollars into land. But I want to get
right.
to we have Dr. Salam. He's been holding a lot of callers, been holding a long time. And we actually were trying to set, I thought I had set it for 2 hours tonight, but it, apparently I didn't save it properly. But Dr. Salam.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm
going
to try to reset while you go ahead and talk. We can all hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Beautiful,
yes,
beautiful. Dr. Ava, when I saw that little queen come out first, with the prayer, I knew she was setting us up for some kind of day. You brought it, sister.
Yes,
you brought it.
Praise
Dr. Ridley, and please repeat the Georgia comment on Saturday. I'm free this Saturday, and I usually do travel every Saturday, but I'm done. I'm looking forward to hear you repeat that again. And Flight Lieutenant, you just keep on being Flight Lieutenant. and I appreciate what you do for the minister, brother. Dr. Ava, you are exactly right about Vatican City that sits on the banks of the Tiber River. That city is only 109 acres, but that's where all of the money is stored. There's no birth record, and the Pope himself in his private prayer chamber bows down to a black Madonna and a black baby Jesus while they give us a white one to bow down to. So
right.
you have to
Better.
Look at that for what it is. You
That's
mentioned
right.
the radio spot. I'm going to close on this. About, I say it was late 60s, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was being interviewed by a Caucasian, of course, on the radio. And they were just walking through different avenues, and he's talked about the Quran and what it meant, you know, to be a Muslim, and some about Master Farid. And later he just got into the Bible and was just rolling in it. And the white man said, look, wait a minute, stop right here. He said, Mr. Muhammad, it looks like you are just twisting the words. And the messenger said, well, we got this book from you. So if there's any twisting, you did it. Just repeat what you twisted. But I thought that reminded me of that, and that was so powerful. I know the time is short, but I just
yes,
love
sir.
You for what you did. And Dr. Ridgely, I'll be looking to hear from you Yes, Saturday, Brother Flight Lieutenant, you got to be up and away. I won't see you anytime soon. But I love you, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. As-salam.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
I'm going to get it twisted.
Yeah. I mean, and see, when you are, as one of you all said earlier about the certainty, I think you said it, Dr. Basley. Because you have met with God and you know it regardless of what anybody else thinks, then the answers just flow. He was filled by Master Fadhad Muhammad, programmed by, shaped and molded by Master Fadhad Muhammad. So the answers are already set even as the enemy is speaking. The response is, like you said, whatever we... You know, it's your Bible. This is your book. You know?
Right.
Yeah, so if there's anything in it that's out of order, it's from you. You know, but of course, we know that Minister Farrakhan is the same way. He never speaks anywhere without identifying himself as a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so to those of us who want to be successful in spreading the gospel, I mean, therein is the secret to their power. And that is, you know, you stay within the embrace of your teacher.
Well, not only just stay within the embrace of your teacher, but completely embrace your teacher. Now, we look at the pedagogy, as you said, about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, related with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave himself completely to Master Farrakhan Muhammad. He no longer wanted he wanted Master Farrakhan Muhammad, and he wasn't doing it to be the spokesman for Master Farrakhan Muhammad. He was just doing it because he loved Master Farrakhan Muhammad, and Master Farrakhan Muhammad chose him out of that love, and nobody would choose him because he had a speech impediment. But when you listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, you're spellbound by what comes out of his mouth, no matter how he might say it or bust a verb, because it is so pure and it's clear. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Farrakhan did the same thing. You know, he had a choice of those two doors, and he chose Islam, and he gave himself up to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he says, I don't want me, I want him. So if you want to be like Farrakhan, can you submit completely to Farrakhan the way he submitted to Elijah Muhammad? Because one thing about it, you can't fool yourself. You may try to fool me, but you can't fool yourself. And that's where it comes with the reality of the faith and the non-ambiguity in your own head. And most of us got ambiguity in our own head. We don't know whether we're going to submit completely yet or not. So I just want to leave with that.
That's right. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, the current issue of the Final Call newspaper, and if we want to be soldiers in God's army today, we really need to move this newspaper because it is so enlightening and clear in terms of letting our people know and understand the time and what must be done. And so I just wanted to read one more excerpt as we close out from that article that was lifted from Torchlight for America by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, written in 1993. And again, he's still talking about the youth. And he says, the youth have the basic qualities of what it takes for seeking liberation. The leader has to have helpers to fulfill the vision. The helpers cannot be afraid of the enemy. God rides in on our faith in him. This is why when Moses was leading the people into the promised land, the older people were left to wander in the wilderness until they died out, and their children were taken into the promised land. This was done because their children did not have the fear of Pharaoh or the love for Egypt's wealth, nor did they have the fear of the giants that inhabited the land that Allah God had promised them. That's these young brothers and sisters that we are looking at right now who respond. And again, the sheep know my voice. And the only words now coming out of their mouths are from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. May Allah bless all of us with love and light, peace and understanding, and Allah willing, we'll be back together next week. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, all that make this program possible, including the listeners and callers above all. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.